Three friends were fed up with banking fees. So they took on the Goliaths of finance, built a banking app for the 99%, and called it Dave.
Dave.
Now, millions trust Dave over big banks to get them up to $500 instantly with extra cash. No interest, no credit checks, or late fees. So if you're in a pinch and need some extra help, go to Dave.com and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Go to Dave.com to get started today. That's Dave.com. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to Dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back ribs.
I really do, actually, and I'm hungry.
It's 8 in the fucking morning, dude.
Do you miss going to the video store, acid washed jeans, and MTV with music? I know we do. Welcome to Mike and Anthony Soda Pop Culture Club. Me, Mike, along with my co-host Antoine.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back ribs.
I really do, actually, and I'm hungry.
It's 8 in the fucking morning, dude.
Yeah, but hey, baby back ribs, I'll make me some. We bring our take on a classic movie every Monday from the 80s, 90s, and beyond, during which we will play the game and open up a six-pack of our favorite scenes. We also point out a couple of generic scenes as well. And at the end of the show, we'll rate the movie 1 to 24 cans. One can is having to insert the tracker into Fat Bastard's butt.
Do you really think that's one can, or is having to let Fat Bastard give you a jump one can?
Well, there's that. Or is it having to fish it out of the toilet? Is that one can?
Let's just say an evening with Fat Bastard is one can.
Just a time in his presence is probably yes. One can. And 24 cans is Heather Graham in this movie.
I don't know now.
Well, because she's been with Fat Bastard.
Okay. Fat Bastard. So I don't know if I can do that.
But before we get to all that,
about jealousy. I'm talking about from a sanitation standpoint.
Oh, I get it. I mean, you hose someone down. Don't worry, buddy. There's peroxide.
You hose it down, but no, like you got to take it apart and like clean all the gaskets.
He's wanting to full rebuild people
with rubbing alcohol.
But before we get to all that, we want to let you know some things. We want to hear from you guys. We want to do the movie suggested by you. And we've told you many times how you can do that. But the number one way, the one we love, is the one that Anthony's going to tell you about.
Yes. Jump onto Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. In said review, let us know the movie you want us to do. See, that rhymed.
But did you do that on purpose?
No, I didn't. Sometimes it just happens. I don't even know.
It just happens. All right. So there you go. That's your instructions. Go make it happen.
Yes.
Are you ready for the trailer?
Send us some money, too, so I can buy some medicine, apparently, because I'm still fucking sick.
Yes, medicine will help. Anything will help. Or buy some merchandise at our website. Anyway, are you ready for the trailer?
I'm ready.
Okay.
It was a place where a man could start over, where a fortune could be made. They say every town has a story. Tombstone has a legend.
Who is he?
That's White Earp. Made a name for himself as a peace officer.
I heard of you.
I'm retired.
You must be Doc Holliday. Are you retired too?
Not me. I'm in my prime.
Hollywood Pictures presents...
The only real law around here is the cowboys.
The story of Wyatt Earp.
The first time in our lives we got a chance to stop wandering and finally be a family. Now this is trouble we don't need.
If we're gonna have a future in this town, it's gotta have some law and order.
What do you want, Ringo?
I want your blood. I want your soul. I want them both right now.
shot your brother.
Now the time has come for justice.
Guess maybe you better swear me in.
And he has to live up to his reputation.
You got a fight coming.
I'll be there!
One last time.
None of your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
In a battle.
The last charge of Wyatt Earp and his immortals.
At the OK Corral.
Oh, my God.
The West would never forget. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Dana Delaney, Powers Booth, Michael Biehn, Bill Paxton, Jason Priestley, Sam Elliott, and Charlton Heston.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me!
Justice is coming to Tombstone.
All right, there it is. And here's our breakdown by the numbers, directed by Jay Roach and starring Mike Myers, Heather Graham, Michael York, Robert Wagner, Rob Lowe, Mindy Sterling, Seth Green, and Vern Troyer. Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, was released on June 8th, 1999, taking in $312 million at the box office against a $33 million budget. It scores 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb and 53% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Interesting. 53%. Yeah. So, well, is Austin Powers polarizing? Would you say that? Like, is it like one of those things, either you love it or hate it?
I think so, pretty much. Okay. I mean, it's like, it's your bag or it's not your bag.
It's not your bag, baby. You know, that is so true. That is so true. Either it's your bag or it isn't. But you know what my bag is? You know what it is?
It's the game.
Hey, he got it. It's the game. And you know what the game is. That's where I'm going to read Anthony three movie reviews. Two of them are real. One of them is fake. And all he has to do, he has one job in this world,
is to guess the two wrong ones.
Is to guess it's the one I created. And usually he does guess the real ones.
Or the two real ones. Wrong to me, because they're not the right answer. But
so he needs to go think opposite of what he thinks.
I should.
But you all can play along and notice how you're right and he's always wrong. And that's my favorite part of it, is that you sitting there listening can go, he's such a fucking moron. How did he not know? And I love that part of it. All right.
And I go, I don't give a fuck either way.
But he's still a loser. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. As much as any loser would be.
James Berardinelli, Real Reviews. Absent are the freshness and spontaneity that characterized the original. Rob Dreher, New York Post. Amusing, but ultimately disappointing. Holly Sullivan, The Star Ledger. For me, this sequel is a no, baby. You're on mute, and I love it. He's sitting there talking.
Sorry, I was talking to myself. Well, I try to be on mute when you're reading these. I'm going with the third one.
And why is that?
Because of the fucking Wedding Singer, bitch.
He finally nailed one, people. He finally got it.
Guess who? Me. Who hasn't?
I tried to go with the sister, you know? I thought maybe you didn't pay attention to the sister. My bad. Maybe I should have went with the limo driver's name.
You know, it's funny. Originally, I was going to go with the first one just because that name sounded like a fucking T-Bird from Greece.
It does, doesn't it? Actually, the guy who played the bad guy in the car, you know, that drove the other car, I think his real name is an Italian name very similar to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So he got one. I feel shitty. Now I can't.
I feel like there should be like major celebratory music, fireworks, shagging going on. I don't know, but I fucking got one.
You know what you should do? You should have with you. You know those little
pocket pussies?
Alcohol bottle, like the poppers that have confetti in them. You should have one that you pull the string and the confetti shoots out. You should just have one for every time, just sitting next to you. Just
champagne bottles?
Yeah, those little champagne poppers.
Yeah.
You should have one sitting next to you just in case.
I think I should, but I should fill it with alcohol.
Well, no, but you want the one with the streamers. You pull the string and it shoots out the streamers.
Right, I know. Party poppers. I know.
Party popper. Yeah, you should have one with you. So that way you feel better about yourself.
I don't feel any different than last time when I got both of them wrong. I feel the same still.
All right, so we have done the original, right? We've done the original.
Yes, we did.
A long time ago. And I forget what I scored it, to be honest. I do. It's been a long time.
I could tell you.
Well, actually, he's going to look. That's fine. I've already scored this one, so whatever he tells me will not change. I already scored it,
too, so that's fine.
Will not change. But I forgot.
Hold on one second. We did this one a while ago.
This is like one before we did ratings, yeah. Right?
You did 17.5.
Yes.
I gave it a 20. So there we go.
My memory thought 18. So I was close.
Yeah.
So I was close. I was in the ballpark, as they say, right? So, and it's beginning of baseball season right now. So there.
Whoopity-doo.
Whoopity-doo. Anyways, so, okay. So here's the thing. We've done the first one. Now, my first question was going to be, Mike Myers, was this just a run it back movie?
In a lot of ways, yes. Could almost say this is just like the first one, just a different version of it.
I think it ran it back and then took a couple other things with further, right? Like
it did.
It was a little bit of both.
It ran it back, and I mean it just went back to the well on a lot of shit. At the same time, it did it pretty well.
I was gonna say, because to me, this series ends with this one. Goldmember, not as
Goldmember is that's where it tanked for me.
And I think it may be that he should have stopped it too, or he should have redefined the well.
Right. I mean, and it's funny because as lame as Goldmember was, I would still be excited for another Austin Powers movie.
That's correct.
I would still want to see it, which is weird. You know, it's like, you still want to know, can you bring it back? You know,
Mike Myers is too old, I think, now. I don't know. Maybe he could have a kid or something.
He's too old to fuck up his teeth and wear poofy hair.
No, you're right. I think that's his look now anyways. I mean, he looks a little off these days.
He was able to bring back Wayne's World for the Super Bowl commercial. I think he could bring back Austin Powers.
True. Now, here's the thing. When we think of his best work, I think Austin Powers, the first and the second one, are his best work he's ever done. Do you think it's Wayne's World? Because Wayne's World 2 obviously was not his best work he's ever done.
I don't know. I think it might be Shrek.
Well, okay. That's a whole other arena to me. Because
right,
that,
but you're talking best work.
Yeah, but I'm talking about something made for adults, not kids. Totally
Shrek is made for adults.
It has points. I get that it has humor in it that goes both ways. I mean, the whole donkey character, let's get real.
I mean, I think Austin Powers and Wayne's World is made for both kids and adults.
So you think Shrek is it? I will, you know what? I think in 100 years, somebody might be watching a Shrek thing that, you know, Austin Powers.
I will say, like, the credit I will give Wayne's World and Austin Powers, it's one of those, because, you know, you've heard stories about Wayne's World almost never got made because they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing with Austin Powers. It's like, you know, to be able to sell that and to get that made and to have people understand it and get it.
If he doesn't pull off Wayne's World, he doesn't do this, right? Like,
I don't know. I mean, it's two completely different things, so who knows? You know, it could have just been that had it not been for Wayne's World, maybe Austin Powers would have been the thing that launched him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because this is like when his film credits, just to tell you, Wayne's World is number one. Then So I Married an Axe Murderer and Wayne's World 2 came out the following year. I love So I Married an Axe Murderer. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And then Austin Powers in 97. So I think because of Wayne's World, I mean, that's the only reason you give this guy a shot. I mean, after that, he has some good, I mean, he does some good things.
I don't agree with that per se, because he did Saturday Night Live. So you're going to give everybody a shot from that shit.
My personal feeling about Mike Myers' career is that the moment he did the movie The Love Guru, it was over.
No, it wasn't over. He was still doing Shrek movies after that.
Yeah, but only one.
But I think that's just one of those, okay, that didn't work.
Shrek only won, and it was only 2 years after. So that could have been already been in pre-production at the time he released The Love Guru.
And I don't think it's over. It's not like his career is over. I'm sure he could come back if he wanted to.
He hasn't been in much since then.
He just, yeah, but he's fucking rich as hell. Maybe he just doesn't want to.
Yeah, true. I mean, the Shrek money, you're right. The Shrek money. I mean, just, yeah, that movie did almost $500 million. But this movie did,
I think,
a ridiculous amount of money.
I think I might have to still lean towards Shrek, though, just because I think in a lot of ways, voice acting is harder than real acting.
I think, but well, when you think about it, they're similar that way. They're both character acts where they have a cultural touchstone. Like if you heard someone say, yeah, baby, and someone say donkey or, you know, or whatever, right. You know,
or swing.
Yeah. Like I'm saying, the things that he created are cultural touchstones, right? Like,
oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why you can go to any of them and be like, yes, that's his jam. That's his masterpiece because
that's his bag, baby.
He influenced so many fucking people. He got you saying so much shit from any of those franchises.
Kids are quoting Shrek. Adults are quoting Austin Powers and Wayne's World. Gen Xers specifically on Wayne's World.
I will say, I actually might, in this sense, I might give the nod to Austin Powers just based on Wayne's World. He also got to piggyback off of Dana Carvey. Shrek, he got to piggyback off of Eddie Murphy.
Yes, he did.
So Wayne or Austin Powers, that was
is all that was,
he's piggybacking off of himself in multiple roles. So
yeah, he does. Austin he does Powers. It all. Yeah. Austin Powers. I mean, Elizabeth Hurley's pretty hot though, and Heather Graham.
Well, yeah, I didn't say he got to piggyback them.
Which one of those? Them. Which one of those would you?
Hurley mean? All day. Okay. Hurley. All day.
Well, seeing that she still is like fit as fit can yes. be. I mean, if you're into that type of thing, you know, I don't care.
Elizabeth
I love
Hurley.
For who they are, not for what they look like, by the way.
Elizabeth Hurley, then Heather Graham, then way down the list, Beyonce.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Frau.
Frau might be above Beyonce. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say Frau.
Frau, you know, when she got the lingerie on.
I thought we're just going with Austin Powers, like, you know, the universe here.
Love? No, just Austin Powers love interest, not Dr. Evil love interest.
Well, Foxy Brown is hot, but she's in third. But
I'm like, no, Beyonce doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm just like, I don't know. She's just, when she, like, she seemed too full of herself throughout her career. I'm just like, oh, you let success go.
You know, that's, and that, you know, at, no, that's we're older. True. I think that's the problem is when you get older, and I said that a second ago, I love you for who you are. I like you for who you are, not for what you look like a lot of times. So you can be the hottest person in the world, but I can be put off by you in 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the problem that we have. We don't think with our dicks anymore.
I don't think that's a problem. I think that's a good thing, right?
That's called evolution. Okay.
We evolved? Are you shitting me?
But I got a six-pack. I want to go right back into the six-pack. I got a six-pack. And you know what it is, right? The whole opening sequence.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
From the Vanessa gags all the way through I'm single and doing the whole dance around. I love that. The only weird part on this is the one that I don't like is the one where he exposes himself to a young child.
Yeah.
That one didn't age well for me.
Not so much.
But if you take that for what it is, an accident, then right. He wasn't trying to expose himself to a kid. Although he was dancing to the Pinwheel movie.
Or to the elderly.
And I don't know that that's as big of a problem. You know, that elderly person's probably going to be naked out of their brain, out of their mind in like 5 minutes anyway.
If you like, you know, if you go by the logic that as you age, your brain becomes more like a child's, then you're kind of exposing yourself to a child.
Yeah. This is deep shit.
My first six pack is shortly after that part is the fucking Jerry Springer show.
I had that down.
That was great. That was fucking great. So Austin Powers.
Really of the times. Really of the times.
It was. And, you know, you're like pop culture right in your face there. I love when you do stuff like that, and especially in comedy movies. And then also we see later, you know, the dick joke. You know, it looks like a big all this in the air. But yeah. When you get the cameos and stuff, it's like, it was kind of like with Sharknado when they started doing those sequels and who's going to be then doing fucking cameos for this. You know, I love when they can bring other people in for that kind of stuff.
That's true.
So, but yeah, the Jerry Springer, that was fucking epic. That might be honestly my favorite scene in the fucking movie.
I liked it. I liked it. And they rounded out at the end.
I got your hood. I got your hood.
And they rounded out at the end with the final thoughts.
That actually was going to be, that's my other, one of my other six packs.
Okay, we'll get to
is
that.
Is the bookend at the end? Because
yeah, the book, I was going to say the whole experience of
Jerry if you Springer. Can actually officially end your movie with a Jerry Springer final thought, that's fucking epic.
That's pretty. I would love him to come on and guest on here, our podcast, and at the end of our podcast, final thoughts. These
I don't
two
think,
are fucking morons.
I was going to say, I don't think we want a final thought on that.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved it. I love everything about that. Yeah, you're right. I got your hood. I got you.
You mother.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Evil, though, very great for that show. Like, you know,
yes.
He goes after people, man. He don't fuck around. He don't fuck around. I would love to see him on that. He's, you know, but everyone thought those fights were always staged, and I feel they were.
Oh, I totally.
However.
Yes, they were.
I want to let you know. I work with somebody who was on the Jerry Springer show.
Yeah.
And she was on it for, and we tried to find the episode and we found, but here's the, oh yeah. Okay. Here's how, this is fucking weird. She was on a Jerry Springer episode and how she told me about it is because she said someone was watching an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And in the background, he's watching Jerry Springer and she was on that episode. And so her friend was like, I think I saw you on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And she was. But we cannot find the episode so I could watch it. She said that nothing was staged when she was on. That's all I'm going to
okay.
say. But hers was troubled teens who parents can't handle.
Right. I think that
she was a troubled teen, by the way.
I think Jerry Springer is much like all your reality shows in general, especially like the real world. I think originally they started out just reality and eventually it got to completely fucking staged.
Yeah, it started off good intentions, and then from there, it's like, what gets us ratings? Okay, that's
exactly
fucking,
yes.
That's
fucking. Let's get people to watch. Take your top off. Get in a fight.
Okay, so with this movie, let's meet Dr. Evil again. So with him, does it make sense to you, like it does me, that one of an evil entity would own one of the largest corporations in the world, like Starbucks?
Starbucks.
Yeah. Even then, it was pretty big. It's bigger now.
It's funny, though. That's one of the points I was going to make about this. I love that, being that that's their new headquarters is Starbucks. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Especially during that time. What's funny about it is it made me realize with this movie, even like the Jerry Springer stuff, we appreciate it, obviously, because, you know, we were growing up around that time.
Yeah.
But it's like any time... which is almost kind of like a handicap for this movie in a lot of ways too. Anytime you pull in so much pop culture from that time, your movie's going to age with that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you
know,
it is.
So it's like, you know, people, let's say people 10 to 20 years younger than us, they're not going to appreciate it the same way because they, to them, Starbucks is just fucking Starbucks. It's always been there.
Yes.
Not realizing the rise it made and you know how it fucking monopolized coffee.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much, so, yeah.
But yes, I totally appreciate it. I thought it was awesome.
Your movie gets... it's like I always said about the song by Prince, you know, Party Like It's 1999. It was on an egg timer. Once 1999 hit, it was like, okay.
That's still a great song, though.
Still a good song, but you're not... Now it's like partying in the past. Back when we were younger, it was partying in the future.
Now, see, I think your argument should be made more about Silverchair's 2000.
Oh, yeah, but
that was
who
worse.
Thinks of Silverchair?
Just saying, because you had 99.
Frog Stomp, the
2000,
album.
2000.
That was a good, they're pretty good, Silverchair. I'm surprised you even know who that is. Interesting, you just surprised me. I usually think you're a moron, then you surprised me.
No, I still am, but.
Now, what's the most epic moment, though? We have to talk about it. In this movie, I have as I told you, I like going over epic moments now, which we didn't do in the last one, which we should have. But an epic moment in this is the introduction of Mini-Me, right?
Yes.
Like, I'd have to say that is a cultural thing. Like, everyone knows about Mini-Me, and it's now a thing that you say, mm-hmm. my Mini-Me, you know? Like, people say that. I just think it's epic. Did you like Mini-Me when you first saw it. Your reaction to it?
Fuck yes. Are you kidding me? It was classic. It's like, hey, what can we do for this movie? Well, let's bring in a human gremlin. How about that? People like gremlins.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It's like, you know, you have the car and then you go and buy the model that you can make that's 1/20th or whatever they call it. That's what it is. It's like you got everything's the same, kind of. Kind of. I think it was genius. I think, Mike Myers, like I said, I think these movies is where he spent his genius. Because after this, like we said, Love Guru.
Number, not so much.
Yeah.
Another thing about this movie, though, that I will give a lot of credit to that I think was great. He really upped the physical comedy with Dr. Evil in this one.
Oh, yeah. Like with the ball where he throws the ball into the thing and then he does the kick in the celebration.
You know, into the time portal before it was turned on. There was a lot of really funny physical comedy from him in this as Dr. Evil. So that was
cool. I think probably he probably noticed, because if you watch the first one, Dr. Evil didn't move around a lot.
Right.
He sat a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, the most he moved around was when he went to that counseling session with Scott, I think. Mm-hmm. Was probably, and when he had to jump into a pod and get fired out.
Session with Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. It's Carrie Fisher. Miss her, don't we? Anyways, now, the zip it gag.
Yeah.
I think it's fun, but do you think they went a little too far with it? Just a skosh. Well,
it's you've got the zip it gag. You've got, like I said, the flying penis gag. You know, they just went back to a lot of the same stuff from the first
same
movie.
Well.
It was still funny though. And the thing with it is, I mean, there's some of it in the second one is actually funnier than what was in the first one. So I do appreciate that. But at the same time, you do have to not acknowledge you're going right back to the well. So it is what it is.
Yeah, because I kind of get, I like going back to the well a little bit, but because like in the beginning of this, they went back to the well with the Swedish penis pump, but they did it in a way that it was just, he saved it from the bar when the Fembot was shooting at him.
Right.
He didn't have to dwell on it. We didn't, you know what I mean? That we didn't go back to the well like, at least I have my Swedish penis pump again. You know, we didn't have to say it, you know.
Right.
We could just, you know, we could be a little more subtle. Yeah, I feel they went to the well a little bit. And so I just thought went just a little, like it was just doing it for doing its sake. It was like, remember how we thought that, or at least I did, thought Wayne's World was a series of SNL skits put together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it was very broken up that way. That's kind of what this was. It was like, okay, now we're doing the SNL skit portion of this movie.
Yeah.
And we're just redoing this thing. You know, that's what it felt
like. It is. It's just, you know, this worked in the first one. We've got more funny stuff we can say for the second one, so let's throw that in.
Now, I have a question to ask.
Okay.
Can chess be erotic?
Like, I mean, if you fuck on top of a chessboard, I guess.
Well, no. You know what I'm talking about. Like in this, like, did you find that erotic, that whole chess?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. I called a generic for you here.
You did?
I figured you would think it's generic when she licks the game pieces.
Oh, no. My generic is drinking a cup of shit.
I knew. Oh, that's on here, too.
Duh.
But I figured you would hate it because if you went and played that same chess
piece. I am playing that same chessboard. I'm so.
But you didn't know. But you didn't know she licked them. You would be pissed off. Like, I know that. I know you would be. I just know that is generic to you because things that you like me going to your house and licking all the glasses in your cabinet and not telling you.
Which you probably have done.
You don't know that.
You probably have. But guess what? I only drink out of beer cans, so fuck you.
I stuck my tongue in your bottle of Buffalo Trace.
Now that might get your ass kicked right there. But I guess I can tell myself it's fucking whiskey. It's going to kill all the germs.
It's alcohol, yeah. It's at 90%. It's good. It's good. It kills it all. I'm guessing. I think that's what it is. It's 90 or 80% alcohol. So I bet it's 90 or 80%, somewhere around there.
No, not. It's like 40 to 45%.
That's not strong then, huh?
No, that is. The proof is 80 to 90.
Oh. Because I was watching, they had this, you know, Moonshiners, that show?
Mm-hmm.
They had a show kind of like the people who make knives and shit where you make the best thing. And they had people making moonshine. and they nice. And they were proofing it, and they were saying the percent of alcohol. It's pretty interesting to watch. I will have to say, I know how to make it now.
I'll learn how to make my own bourbon. That'd be pretty sweet.
It's not hard. It looks like just whether you make it well or not is that's the key.
Time consuming, and you have to have the right parameters for it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. It is time consuming. Like the beer kit I gave you, and you still haven't made the beer
because the mix that came with it was outdated, dipshit.
And it's not. There is a place called Amazon that probably has it.
Okay. I know. It's on my to-do list. Make some beer.
From last year?
That wasn't from last year. It's been less than a year.
But it was from 2022. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Summer. Somewhere around there, too. Anyways.
You got me half a kit. What do you want me to do?
Oh, shit. What do you expect for a dollar or whatever?
I still have to get the bottles to go with it. And
I got it at that place.
I know. I got to get the carbonation tabs, and then I got to get the mix. And I will do that at some point.
I got you. I got you started for a dollar. Now I want to talk.
You're like our fucking my in-laws bringing us a fucking plant to plant outside. Like a week after we move in, we're kind of busy right now. That plant's gonna fucking sit there, and you know what? It sat there.
Well, I would never bring you a living.
We
thing.
We never fucking planted it.
I would never like, bring you a living thing.
They brought it to us like a day before we were going on vacation too.
Yeah,
I'll what never the shit.
Speaking of day before we go on vacation. Eddie.
Here you go.
Actually, technically, we go tonight to a hotel before we go on a plane tomorrow morning. But I want to talk about when he goes back in time, because, you know, this is a time travel movie, strangely.
Yes.
Time travel movie. And, you know, the plot is Dr. Evil has stolen Austin Powers' mojo. It basically sucked it out of his growing area. Well, Fat Bastard did for him. And now Austin Powers can't perform, mm-hmm. I guess, is what it comes down to.
He's worthless.
He's not worthless. He does things, and he doesn't realize it, which we learned later was...
No, to him, he's worthless. He's nothing without his mojo.
Without his mojo, so... But in order to get it back, he has to go back in time. And what I don't understand is the moment he goes back in time, why does his teeth all of a sudden go bad? Because the 90s version went back in time, not the 60s. Why would his teeth change? Do I not, are the rules of time travel in Austin's world, like, if you go back to your time, you are who you are, were?
Must be, because.
But what if you're, but then, by that token, when Heather Graham goes back to the future, she should be an old lady, right?
It doesn't work like that with girls.
I guess. I'm just saying. Yeah, it just, to me, it just didn't hit right with the teeth thing.
Oh, it was funny, though.
Yeah, it's funny.
And the mirror cracks.
But this is where I'm going to talk about some things that don't land as well. Like, for me, there are moments of comedy that hit flat for me. And I think it's because, like we were talking about going to the well, I think sometimes Mike Myers goes to the lowest common denominator well too quickly. And, like, with the spits and swallows joke, that was... I didn't care for that. Like, she could have been named something a little more clever. And then the foreplay... joke from earlier with the fembots, you know, it's like, you know, if you knew foreplay, you would have known, you know.
Oh, that's, I thought that was funny.
I think it's, but I think it, yeah, you would.
How did I miss those?
I but I'm just saying it, I get the joke, and it's haha funny for someone who has a very simple palate for comedy, but I just feel sometimes
so you're too those, sophisticated for this.
Is what no, not at all. But my point is, I feel like sometimes he could be a little bit more clever. Like, for someone who is a comedic genius, I think there's more, he's better, he could have done better with some of that. Like, he doesn't, you know, it's like, we don't always have to tell dick and fart jokes when we're out of material. You know what I mean?
Don't have to, but they still work, so.
Yeah, I guess. But I just thought it was. I don't know. I just thought sometimes he has jokes that land flat because it's just a little too base.
But it's like I said, this movie is basically the first one, just a different version.
Yeah, it is. It is. It definitely is. And that's probably why it was more of a 17 and a half for me on the original one, because, you know, it's great because people understand that's a good score. That is a good score. Do you want to know what's interesting about this movie? Interesting fact. This is Will Ferrell's first movie role.
I wondered if it was, because I was like...
It is.
Yeah.
I thought that was strange. I was like, that is so weird. When you look at his thing, this is like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the first role that he ever had in a movie, which, I mean, it's not much of a role, but it was actually quite memorable, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone knows who Mustafa is, and like, I'm very badly burned. Like, everyone will make that joke now. I find it interesting that he has on his thing, that's like his first movie. Before that, all he did was Saturday Night Live.
Right.
So, you know, an SNL member, of course. Of course. SNL has given us so many people who have either been good or bad. I personally am not a fan of like A Night at the Roxbury, but you are.
I am, very much. Yeah.
So there's many different.
I don't know how you can't love Roxbury.
Because I don't know. Maybe it's because I just couldn't stand that. There are some SNL casts. I couldn't stand that era of SNL.
Yeah. So
that's probably what it was. I mean, I haven't been into it since forever. I haven't watched it that much because just it's not the same. And then when you hear about the sexism. And how they didn't allow women writers for years. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah. And the cocaine parties. I mean.
I get it.
I know.
Dark times.
So do you like seeing how Scott Evil was made? Learning that the real story, the truth.
That he's Frau's love child?
Yes, because he didn't know that. Until this movie, we didn't know that.
Until the end of the movie, we didn't know it. Until after the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, because Dr. Evil's seduction of her, we see that. Like, do you like his whole seduction move, you know?
Oh, yes. No, I thought you were talking about Springer at the end when she came on.
Yeah.
To tell him.
Well, she tells him, but right. We knew.
Right.
Before Scott knew. Did you think, because, you know, she tells him she's late and all that.
Yeah.
You know? Did you like Dr. Evil's seduction and that whole weird, like, that, you know, don't get weird, mama?
Yeah. One for me, one for my homies.
I don't understand that. Why would you do that right do before what? You're about to, like, go into it?
Oh,
pour some out. I'm pouring out for you. What do my homies have to do with what I'm about to do now?
They're rooting you on from somewhere. No, the only thing about it, though, is, but then that really just wipes out the whole explanation from the first one. We froze your semen.
Yeah, it does. The continuity there is a little off, but I think they can get away with it.
Well,
like, you know.
But now here's my question. Is this where we talk about, like we did with, you know, Back to the Future and stuff, like if you go back, the first time you go back in time, does that change? So was originally...
Yeah, it changed. It changed.
A test tube baby until Dr. Evil went back in time, banged Frau, and then had Scott that way. But at the same time, again, if you're going to go that route, it would have been a different kid.
Or no, unless they use her eggs, because we don't know.
Well, if they use her eggs, still, chances are it would have been a different kid, because you're talking about frozen jizz and then a live shot.
I don't know the difference, like when it comes going to in. Genetics. I don't know if they... If it makes a big difference.
I don't have time to explain that to you, so we're not going
to. What are you saying? You have time to explain to me that you think a frozen egg and sperm would produce a different genetic code than one if I do it the old-fashioned way?
Different sperm.
No, you don't know that. See, that's what I'm saying. You don't know. The same sperm that could... The coincidence
that
is ridiculous.
Same day, that would have been the sperm they would have froze.
That's a coincidence would have been ridiculous, but it could have been. I understand what you're saying. Okay. I'm not an idiot. But my point is...
Let's don't start that
either. But this is already a fantastical movie. We can assume that it would have been what we're saying. Her one egg that she was going to give and his sperm that he was going to drop that day anyways.
Right.
So
that load with billions and billions of sperm in it.
I know. What's the odds?
Swimmer.
What's the odds?
The frozen side to the fresh side. Okay.
Although, who knows? Maybe he's very similar to the old Scott. Maybe he's a new Scott, but very, very similar, except for he doesn't have a nut allergy now. How do we know? You know?
Could be.
So, I want to get to Fat Bastard, okay?
Yeah, here we go.
I want to call him a generic.
I know you do, because I knew, like...
Or is he epic? Well, and I don't know. He's either one way or the other. He's either generic or epic.
To you, he has to be generic because you made the same stink about Chunk in the Goonies. So he's got to be your generic.
No, Fat Bastard celebrates his heftiness. Chunk did not.
Actually, he doesn't. At the end, we find out his real feelings. So he actually doesn't. That's just a facade.
No. He said, "I'm just kidding." He didn't mean it.
No, he did. He just said, "Oh, basically, the hell with it. I'm going to kill you anyway." He didn't say he's kidding. He said, "I'm going to kill you anyway."
But as far as we know as people, the way he celebrates himself all the time, we wouldn't know he has those until he revealed them late. So,
but he did reveal them, so we do know that now, is what I'm saying.
But is he generic or epic to you? Or just eh?
He's epic in the quotes we get from him, because he is one of the most quotable characters in the whole fucking series.
I want to eat a baby!
I got bigger pieces of corn in my crap!
Yeah, you're right. Like, the baby back ribs thing was big because of him.
I farted. I still say that.
What, I farted or?
I farted.
I eat because I'm fat.
I got a turtle head poking out. I'm getting emotional.
And I'm fat because I eat.
That's a vicious cycle. So epic in that sense, yes.
That's why I was saying he's generic in the sense that he's a disgusting person. Very like the whole when Felicity has to, you know, bang him to put the thing inside his butt and all that chicken grease. I thought that would be your generic.
It could have been, yeah.
So I thought that would be a generic because that's one of mine is her having to be with him and the whole chicken grease situation. I guess it's all over and probably easy to get that thing slid in there.
Lube, yeah.
Little lubrication action. But before we get to that, I just want to say I did have a six pack because I love the late Burt Bacharach, now late.
And Burt Bacharach.
Sad to see because he just died like earlier this year.
Yeah.
But he was in this movie with Elvis Costello, and I own the album they did together. I do own that. So there you go.
If I was going to give a generic for the Fat Bastard scene, by the way, it would have been, why are you putting that tracking device up his ass? You think it's really going to stay there?
Well, yeah. Well, and lo and behold, where did they find it?
Exactly.
However, it did end up being the thing that helped catch him. You know, now I want to go before we get to that. We can go to that. You're generic, and I know what it is. It's Austin drinking the shit, right?
Yes.
A bit nutty. How did that make you feel when he said
it's pretty gross? It's still gross.
But that's how they end up finding Dr. Evil's by trace elements in the shit. Anyways, but before we get to that, we get the soliloquy of Dr. Evil saying what he's going to do with the laser, and he's going to have the Death Star and the Alan Parsons project. That's funny.
Yeah.
It is funny, but Scott laughs at him when he comes up with the name of the Death Star, but because you're copying him. But I'm like, this is Dr. Evil. Do you think you know what the fuck Star Wars is? He came up with this in the 60s before Star Wars was invented. Actually, he's original. Why are you making fun of someone who just came up with a really original idea 20, 10, 15 years before it was going to be said? I mean, that's to say Dr. Evil's a genius.
But he came up with it. Quote unquote, he came back from the future, so it had already come out.
Yeah, but I don't think he saw. I don't think he's watching movies.
Just saying,
it's not him.
Just saying, we don't know. Maybe he heard it in passing.
I guess. Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe he heard it in passing, but I think Scott shouldn't laugh at me. He should say, "Where did you get that from? Did you get that?" He should just ask him, because if he didn't, then that's pretty freaking amazing that he came up with the Death Star with a giant laser on it. Just saying. All right, let's see. There's a lot of things going on in this movie. A lot of gags. That's what's hard about it. There's so much going on. You have your bit nutty. Oh, but who does put the coffee pot next to the nut, the shit pot? That's all I'm going to say. I have that problem with that.
An idiot.
Yeah. Austin Powers. Okay.
Yeah, he did it. Powers from 10 minutes into the future did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blame him.
10 minutes in the future. Probably. I love when Dr. Evil is talking to the president and Mini-Me is humping the laser.
Yes, don't hump the laser, Mini-Me.
I think that Mini-Me in general, just like the little things, I think that's what they did well in this. Like when he's gnawing on his kitty.
We don't gnaw on our kitty.
We stroke it and stroke we love it.
And love him.
Yes. That's it, man. Like it's just funny how he gives that Mini-Me so much attention and tries to care for him in so many ways, and then just shits on Scott when he gives a good idea, you know.
Another, which I thought was really funny. First, having Rob Lowe as number two, like that was a great casting choice.
Which always
they've got their Wayne's World
connection. Robert Wagner. When you think about
Rob, definitely
both of them,
both Robs. Good job, Robs.
The Bobs,
and obviously they've got their connection from Wayne's World, him and Rob Lowe. But
but you know why? But you remember, it's because Rob Lowe had that sex thing,
yeah,
that sex tape scandal. And he owed him probably.
Exactly. I still love the scene where he keeps throwing the ball in his face. You gotta cry.
He goes, oh, that's so fucking good.
Squirt, and then all of a sudden, that was great.
And everyone's looking at him like you're just a piece of shit bully.
Yes.
But that is bullying. I mean, that's what you'd expect from Dr. Evil. You know, he'd be just, you and him are kindred spirits.
Yeah,
I mean,
must be.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're kind of a bully. I mean,
I know I'm going to throw a ball at your face.
You'd like put your balls in my face. See what you just said?
That's not what I said.
That's what I heard.
Quit twisting my words into your fancy.
Now, like I said, this is a movie, a series of gags, pretty good strung together in a good way. Once in a while, they feel like skits. Like I said, sometimes it feels like we've exited the movie to do a thing a bit. I feel those happen here and there. Most of the time, that's like when you do the Zip-Its or the, you know,
my other six pack is one of those. It's just the two of us.
Okay. That right there, I was going to ask you, how big was that wrap? What was that? How big was that like back then? Think of how big that was
in
pop culture.
It was great.
Like everybody wanted to see this movie to see that wrap because back then we didn't have the YouTube. You know, we didn't have people taking pictures of it with their phone. You had to go see it to enjoy it. And that was so big that everybody went, that's why it made over $336 million.
That leads to Goldmember, where again, going back to the well, because then we're going to do Hard Knock Life, because we have to do the songs, even though that was great too. But then that you pulled from the second one to go to the third one.
And did, instead of taking it to a new place,
Right.
Yeah, it does get a little derivative. But one of my favorite gags, like we're talking about, was the shadow gag where the people are walking up and they're pulling the shit out of the bag.
That's funny.
Lowest common denominator funny, but it is funny because it's just weird. When she's trying to pound that tennis racket, I can't get it to fit.
Well, it is, but they pulled that from the first movie too with the whole wiener scenes and everything when Elizabeth Hurley's talking to her mom and Austin Powers is in the background. You've got all the phallic symbols.
Well, that's really the opening sequence is from
it. It is the opening sequence too.
Yeah.
But this was also, so they pulled from it again for that scene.
Yeah. Yeah. The visual humor in some ways, I will say though, this took it a different direction. The opening sequence is a little closer to it, but it was more of a dance. So at least he did it in three different ways, right? Like he did it in a way that each one was different, but similar at the same time, you know?
Right.
That is when he hits it right? When you don't feel like you're going to the well and it's the same water you're drinking, you know, you're going to a new well. It's a little different. It hits a little different. Oh, man, there's so many things in here, but I want to get to when we get to the space station.
Yes.
The six pack I have for that is the Mini-Me fight with Austin Powers.
And he shits him into space.
But I would have to say in this movie, that there's one scene that makes me laugh more than any other scene, it's this one when he crawls into his suit.
Yeah.
And like, to me, that's like, because I feel Austin Powers tries to be cool with him, be like, oh, you're such a cute little, and then, you know, and then the little dude sucker like crawls in him like he's, it reminds me of The Matrix, you know, how Neo crawls inside Agent Smith and he kind of like starts going nuts. That's kind of like what Austin Powers is doing there. But you're right, then he shits him into space.
Into space, yeah.
That was not right. That's the negative for that, though, is that he should have just exploded upon touching space.
Right.
Because he would have died instantaneously.
Well, he's a clone, so we don't know what his makeup is, so who knows?
His makeup is... Well, he's not a good clone. But you know what? What I like about this is what they do about clone in this movie with the clone is they do show that the copy is never as good as the original, right? Just like a Xerox machine, when you make a copy, the original is still going to be the best thing. The copy is going to be a little off somehow.
A little smaller.
And I think, in this case, the copy was much smaller and didn't speak much English.
Right.
If at all. We don't
Except
even know.
Except when we're singing. Except for the dance parts, the singing parts.
Could play piano.
You and I.
Yeah, deep voice. I mean, that's why he doesn't talk, because he's ashamed of his deep voice.
Lower.
How does that feel, baby?
Oh, yeah, that's earlier. Yeah. Well, you know, that's all the Austin Powers lost his mojo shit, where he can't perform, you know, so he's all performance anxiety. Which, I totally forget about the mojo part for a while in this. Do you as well? Like for a while, it's just, I'm just trying to track down Dr. Evil. Like, his mojo is secondary to that, it seems to me, watching the movie.
Not really. I mean, it's not like I forgot he's still trying to get his mojo. Huh? I remember it. Okay. Because he can't get laid. I'm a big deal for him.
Well, for him, I guess. I mean, it'd probably make him more productive as an agent, though. Just my opinion.
Or less productive, because he has no motivating force behind him.
Okay.
He's an agent to get laid. Let's just be honest.
Do I make you horny, baby?
He wants to be Austin Powers.
If he can't say that, you're saying he's just not right.
Right, exactly.
Now, the time portal, at the end, when he's saving Felicity... That created a real Lugal situation, I like to call it, you know, going to a bathtub time machine. Because another version of himself, bathtub.
Bathtub
time machine. I'm saying what I want to make with Anthony. It's a subliminal mistake.
Here we go. There is.
But no, it really created a real Lugal situation, because you know how he had multiple versions of himself throughout history?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened there, right? Now we have two Austins running around.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it again, would there be a third Austin then?
Then it's Multiplicity.
Well, no, Multiplicity is the cloning thing.
I understand, but...
Which is a great movie that no one really appreciated.
It's kind of what you're doing, though.
Yeah, kind of. But I'm saying, now there's multiple of you running around, and it makes me wonder. Or is there just the one original? No, there's multiple. There's two of you now. Because then there's also the one frozen in ice, remember?
Yeah.
So you've got the one frozen in ice in that particular time.
My question is, how did Austin from 10 Minutes in the Future get back there with them? Because they both went to the time portal right before everything self-destructed.
Yeah. Dude, that's the same. When you get into time travel, wrapping your head around it starts getting fucked up. But in this particular instance, there's multiple Austins now. So it's like, you don't even have... One of you can do all the work and the other can do all the shagging. That's what I say.
You know, now that's something too that might have actually worked for Goldmember. If we could have had two Austins.
Yeah. That
could have taken that in a different direction.
See, if they would have pulled in the ending of this and there's now two Austins, you know, that you're right. That would have made it a weird, That's the movie that should have been made, and just remake it all together and somehow use the concept of that time thing. Carried over into the next one. That would have been good. One of my favorite things in this, and it happens earlier in the movie and it happens later when he sees himself. One of my favorite lines, and I used to use it all the time, sexy bitch.
I'm a sexy bitch, man.
Yeah. I love that. You know, my wife hates that phrase, by the way.
I'm sure she does.
If I say that, she hates it. It's like... She's too serious. You know that.
I do. She hates it when you call yourself that or you call her that or both.
Myself or her. Doesn't matter. Sexy bitch. If I say it to the TV, it's still wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you right now, one thing about your wife, if she fucking bumps her elbow into the wall, you know for certain she did not hit her funny bone. She is safe from that.
But she has a sense of humor, she promises.
I believe it.
Everyone does. You just got to find it.
I believe in Haley's Comet, too. Just ain't never seen it.
Yeah. True. Now, when Austin Powers comes back with the other Austin, he suggests a three-way.
Yeah, now that's weird.
You have a three-way with yourself.
No.
But it's you.
No.
Like, if another you was there and a hot chick.
No, I don't care. No.
And your dude was like, hey, man, this is on.
Like,
would you be like,
no.
But it's you. It's not like you're unfamiliar with that.
If my wife came back 10 minutes in the future, yeah, then it's on. I'm good. But no.
But in general.
No, I don't want another dick in the bed. What the hell you want me to tell you?
It's your dick.
I don't care.
It's your dick.
I don't care. That's one too many.
Oh, man. Well,
so you're saying you would, though. That's what we're getting
at here. No. I'm not saying that I would or wouldn't. I'm saying that I'm surprised that you dismiss it so quickly since it's your dick.
I don't care. It's another dude, even if it's me. No.
It's not another dude. It's you.
It's not my bag, baby.
It's not your bag. I think you would, honestly. If
I know I wouldn't. So.
If it was Heather Graham in 1995.
No. No.
You would be, or Heather Graham from License to Drive. Is that it? Yeah.
Or from Boogie Nights.
What? Boogie Nights. Yeah. Nights. Roller Girl. Yeah. If she was on roller skates dressed in one of those little outfits or
I
naked.
Still would, yeah.
And your other, and the only way is if you had to threesome
it's,
with
it's me and the
person.
Other me. It's, hey, rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, man, I can't believe you. I can't believe you wouldn't do that.
I'll come in 10 minutes when your 10-minute me is over because from the future.
So we talked about earlier, the end of this movie, the Jerry Springer.
Yes.
Final thoughts was.
Where are they now?
That was epic. We also at the end of this, we had Dr. Evil getting away on a cock. Shaped vessel.
Just a little prick.
Did you like that joke? Do you think it was too much that they did it twice?
It was funny, but not like, oh my God, it's hilarious.
I mean, they did it for the cameos. I get it. So they could say Willie and get Willie Nelson in there and
Woody
and
Harrelson.
All that. And Woody.
Woody.
Woody here. Yeah, Woody. So yeah, they did it for that. But I was like, it goes to the well a little too much.
I agree. Like I said, it was the same gag. There was more stuff you could say. So they did keep the joke going. But yeah, like I said, it's funny. It's just not like hysterically funny.
Which movie do you think is more memorable? This one or the first one?
They've both got a lot in them. A lot of things that are funny. I would say this one because to me, this is more quotable, especially because Fat Bastard, there's more quotes that you get out of this to me.
And the mini me thing.
And the mini me thing, yes.
I'd agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
I would agree with that. All right. And I have one last generic that I was going to put out there. And for me, it was the Mojo plot. I don't know that they could have found something else to do it.
Well, the fact that how they crafted the Mojo, I'm like, I wouldn't be drinking that.
Oh, well, yeah. Dr. Evil, when he opens it up and he's like...
I'm like, I think you got...
he's sniffing it in. He's like, oh, and drinking it.
I'm like, is that what it looks like when you donate plasma? Because...
Yeah.
There's some weird shit
obviously
in there.
The thing about that, it's the most fake, fantastical thing of the movie of a bunch of gags that have a fat bastard in it.
But it's a tube of groin juice, basically.
Yeah, it's a groin juice that looks like a bunch of male symbols.
Yeah, when it breaks.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. That's why I was generic to me, the Mojo thing in general.
The other thing I was surprised about is when Dr. Evil took a sip, I'm like, why aren't you just downing the whole thing then?
Yeah, if you think it's that important. Yeah, wouldn't you just be like, yeah, but maybe it's just too much for him to handle. I mean, it made him make some questionable decisions with Frau.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
don't make it weird, Mama.
Right.
Oh, okay. So what I have to ask you, you know what it is. You know what time it is.
Memorabilia.
So what is it for you?
For me, I want the Elizabeth Hurley Fembot mannequin with the robot face and guns blazing right before it blew up. That's a display piece. That is a display piece.
See, now me, I was going to say Dr. Evil and Mini-Me's matching suits.
Okay.
Like, put those in your on your wall or on a mannequin. That'd be pretty cool. The tracker that was put in Fat Bastard.
I don't want that.
Why not? Why not? Or...
Oh, Fat Bastard's bagpipes would be cool, though.
Or the Selma Hayek that was the... get her. If I could have her prosthetic dummy or whatever that was, that'd be pretty cool. With the thing going through it, like a shell, like a grenade that went through her and her face all mangled. That'd be pretty cool.
I'd go with Elizabeth Hurley, though. Or if I could get it without the robot face when it still looked like Elizabeth Hurley, all the better.
I think, though, if you had Dr. Evil and Mini-Me's actual suits, that'd be pretty badass. So there you go. That's pretty badass for me. That's where I'm at with it. What do you got going on with your ratings? I think you're first this time.
I am first. So we already talked earlier about what we gave them before. I gave the first one a 20 because it was epic, something you hadn't seen before. Very funny, great stuff in it. As far as sequels go, this one is interesting to me because, as we just mentioned, it's probably more memorable as far as a lot of the gags in it and the quotes and the humor. And like I said, I really like Dr. Evil having more physical comedy in this one. I think that added a lot to it. But the drawbacks too are, this, like we talked about, you're going to the well so many times. It is kind of the same movie, just a different version of the first one. But with that, I do think it's a really, really fucking strong sequel. And I think I enjoy it as much as I do the first one. So that's a big deal to me when you're talking about sequels. So I'm going to give it a 17.
Okay. Wow. There you go. Okay. So for me, I'm very similar. This movie, there are some straight bangers when it comes to the comedy. Like we said, there are some things that you just don't get in the original, and they're unique and new, and I love it. Like the Mini-Me, Fat Bastard, some of the quotes. But the plot to me is a little loose with the mojo. It's kind of they could have figured out another way to devise the movie that probably would be a little more interesting. But I guess plot doesn't matter when it's about substance. It's more, it's more about style than substance, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, and it went to the well too much. But I think it's almost as good as the original to me. Really close. And I told you earlier, I thought I'd given it 18. I did not know I'd given it a 17 and a half. Because this one, I gave it a 17. I thought it was really close to being as good, because it does have some things that elevate it higher than the first one, but then because it goes to the well, it goes a little below.
Right.
It's wavelength goes up and down.
It's almost kind of the same, because it's better and worse in ways than the first one.
Yeah.
And I also think another thing with this, the fact that Goldmember is out there in the universe actually does help you appreciate this movie a lot more, too.
Yes, because that score goes down from there. That's why I think if this series would have ended here, we'd have been fine with it.
I don't know about that. I think maybe if we had just waited longer to make a third to get a better understanding of...
Do you think it was just a cash-in movie? Do you think you're just trying to get the check?
I mean, I hope so.
I hope so.
I hope so. All right, so this is easy. Our average score is 17.
And
that's it.
But what's that mean? I mean, you know.
That means it's fucking 17. Let's see here. As far as Back to the Future, part 2, 17 and a half. Part 3, 17.25. Or 17 and a half. I'm sorry. Part 2, 16 and a half. Part 3, 17.5.
That makes sense.
So there you go. As far as especially comedy sequels.
Because part 2 is a little in the weeds for Back to the Future. While memorable, not always the one you want to watch. You always want to watch the first or the last, if you ask me. But
Home Alone 2, 14.75, because you did not care for that one as much as I did.
No, it's the same movie. It's more of a rerun than this. That movie is a straight retread.
again,
is going to the well and saying, I love it.
But we just said the same thing about this movie.
Yeah, but this movie at least did some original things that were good. I don't want to rehash Home Alone 2.
Okay. Have it your way.
McDonald's. That's not BK. That's Burger King.
Well, here you go. Wayne's World, 16.
Yeah, because it's not, I don't think it's as good as these movies are. I think these are better. I think as Austin Powers was his magnum opuses. I think those two movies are the peak Mike Myers.
Well, see, so that's where it's kind of interesting for me. I gave Austin Powers, the original, 20. Wayne's World, I gave it 18. And then Spy Who Shagged Me, I gave a 17. So there you go.
I think Austin Powers was his peak. Like, this is it. He has done his best work, and after that, it's downhill.
Except for Shrek.
Well, I don't count that because it's kid stuff. It's hard to... It's not... He's not identifiable in it. He's just a voice. You don't see him, so... You know what I mean? It's a little different that way. Like, he's not the thing that... People see a green man, not the voice. That's why it's hard to say Shrek. It's made him a lot of money where he doesn't have to do anything else. I think that's the problem. Yeah, he may have been more motivated to make better movies had he not had Shrek money, I'm guessing.
I don't know.
Because Shrek money probably did him in.
That's Oprah rich. So, yeah, there you go.
I'm guessing it is. I mean, how much money did Shrek make? Just off a half a billion? Yeah.
$100 billion.
Shrek 2, $900 million. Let's see. Shrek the third. Let's see, how much did that one do? $800 million. How much money do you think he's made out of these? Shrek Forever After, the last one? About $800 million, $750 actually.
I'm going to say more than Vin Diesel for Fast and Furious.
No, I don't know. Fast and Furious has made a lot of money.
Yeah, it's also got a lot larger cast and more mouths to feed on that.
But he got Pitch Black. And he owned all of the rights to that and made those Pitch Black movies. He made a lot of money. Anyway, so that's this movie. Obviously, we like it as a 17. Like, it's solidly good. Solidly good and worth seeing. And you should watch it. In the moment, these movies were like a cultural touchstone. And some of the things have still carried on. So that's good.
So I'm going to tell you, and this is just based off of the Google or the Lugal. It shows Mike Myers' net worth is $210 million.
Yeah. And Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel, $225.
So I'm saying, Vin Diesel got money.
They're both there.
So they made some money. Let's say that they play in playgrounds we can only hope to dream to be in. And like they have stupid people money, stupid rich money.
When you're talking net worth, that's just what's on the internet. We don't really know. It could be three times that.
I can guarantee you they pay way more for their underwear than we do. Like, we go out and we buy a pack of Hanes. They go out and they're probably paying $30 a pair.
400 Oak Street, Kmart, Cincinnati, Ohio.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm just saying, we don't know how much money they've got under the mattress in Switzerland. Who knows?
You're right about that. And that should conclude our business, shouldn't it? You have anything you want to say?
I think we're good. We concluded our business and shot it out in space. Thank you guys very much for listening. As always, don't forget, jump on Apple Podcasts, leave a review, let us know the movie you would like us to do next, and it could be yours.
It could be. I promise it could be. Thank you. Yeah.
it's Sheena Shea from Vanderpump Rules here to tell you guys about Factor. It's my one-stop shop for nutritious, fully prepared meals, which means there's no grocery shopping, no meal planning, and no cooking required. They have tons of options to choose from every week. Factor is like having a personal chef, but without the wait. It only takes 2 minutes to heat and eat. Plus, all their meals are fresh, never frozen. Visit factormeals.com/Shea40 for 40% off your first order.